Good evening. It's good to be here again tonight, and hope you've all had a restful afternoon and time of contemplation and meditation and maybe even some sleep. I'm sure there's some here who've been in need of some of the latter, and I did take the liberty of having a few quiet moments, I think, with my eyes closed. But it is the Lord's Day, and I think it's a good opportunity to rest and take stock before we get into this new week ahead of us. It's always a new challenge and a new set of circumstances that will come our way. And tonight I'd like to look in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, and I don't know how it's going to go tonight, to be quite honest with you. I've thought about it, and this particular passage and thought for a while, and I'd have to be honest with you that I'm not an expert by any means when it comes to this particular topic. I believe there's always something you can learn, no matter how old you are, but some things take a lot longer than others. And that's fine. The Lord doesn't expect us to know everything when we get saved, or in the first couple of years even. We have a lifetime of walking with the Lord. And some things we grow and we take some time. But in Acts chapter 20, we find here that Paul is on his way back down to Jerusalem. There are some things which are going to take place, which you could read about further on, where he's going to be arrested and tried, and eventually he's going to be on his way to Rome. But on his way back through to Jerusalem, there were some churches which he had been a part of in starting them, and he wanted to call back through, knowing that it was going to be the last time, and he had some very important things he wanted to say to them. So we want to take up the reading of God's word in verse number 17 in Acts chapter 20. And we'll read through to the end of the chapter, just so that we have the whole context of that particular passage there. But in verse 17, the Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so labouring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompany him unto the ship. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, as we come before you, Lord, tonight, we ask, Lord, for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. Lord, we trust, Lord, that we have not met together, Lord, in vain, but indeed we would be spoken to through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to my heart, Lord, that you would challenge me, encourage me, stir me up for you. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, in these days that we live, Lord, to be what you'd have us be. Lord, you said that when you return, will you find any faith? Lord, I pray that we would be found worthy and that you would find faith in us, Lord, should we be alive when you come. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst. We lift up our Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we meet, and we give him all the glory and praise, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We said earlier that Paul was on his way to Jerusalem here, and the church here at Ephesus had a bit of a special place in Paul's heart. We know that because he spent time writing an epistle to the Ephesians. Not every church that Paul started or even went to did he write a letter or epistle, but he did take the time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write a letter to the Ephesian church. And we find here when Paul is coming back to Jerusalem, he calls in at Ephesus. In verse 17, where we took up reading, we find that when he got to Ephesus, he called for the elders of the church. And I'm sure that that had a fairly serious note to it. I don't know about you, but every time I hear that they've called together the elders of the church, or the men of the church, there's normally something serious going on. So whatever he says after this, whatever is recorded for us, I believe was something that we need to take careful note of. This wasn't a chance, random meeting, but something that indeed God had called him to do and the place it needed to be. And the Bible tells us that he called these elders together and he reminds them of the times that he'd have with them. And no doubt in Paul's ministry there in Ephesus, there'd been some good times, there'd been some hard times. Seems to be the lot of every church that is called of God. There's some good times and there's some hard times. I've yet to see a church that hasn't gone through some hardships and some sufferings. In fact, the Bible tells us that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some persecution. And I believe it goes to say that if you are not seeing some persecution and some suffering, then you're probably not in the right church. You're probably not in the will of God, because it's God's will that we go through some hard times. And that's certainly not popular. No one desires it, but that's the reality. It's the reality of the Christian life. And for all those who would preach that when you get saved, all your troubles go away, I would question their integrity. Because the Bible doesn't teach a life of ease and a life of pleasure and a life of indulgence. Rather, the Bible teaches that when you get saved, there needs to be a place and a time where you would take up your cross and follow Christ. The very symbol of the cross is not one of pleasure and enjoyment, rather of pain and suffering. And Paul is calling in on this church to encourage them and to be a blessing to them. And it's always an encouragement and a blessing when we have visiting preachers, people who have been in the ministry and have seen a bit of life, seen some hard times and seen the hand of the Lord upon their life. It's always good to be encouraged, isn't it? And if you had not have come this morning and if you had not come tonight, you would have missed out on the blessing. For no other reason, it's a good place to be, isn't it? The house of the Lord. Be encouraged. But Paul here is encouraging them. just want to notice a couple of things that he said. I'm not going to preach through this whole passage, but just take note of a couple of things and then draw our attention just to a section towards the end there. But in verse 20, something to take note of. Paul said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." One thing I like about Paul is he preached the whole counsel of God. He wasn't shy to preach what God called him to. And we're living in a day and age where we need men who would have a testimony like this: "So I've held nothing back. Everything that was profitable, I gave it to as you needed it." The Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So we know that Paul here was not preaching his own words with enticing man's wisdom, but he was indeed preaching the word of God. Very much we see in our churches a drifting away from the preaching of the word of God into more of a dialogue, and skits, movies, and plays. Now they have their place, but they don't have their place up here in the pulpit. It needs to be the preaching of the word of God. We need it. Whether we like it or not, we need it. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. Paul reminded them of this. And he said he did it to everyone, both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Same message. Very important that we remember those things. In verse 24 he said, "But none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." The Apostle Paul had a one-track mind, didn't he? That was just to serve the Lord. In difficult times and hardships, he just purposed in his heart he was going to serve the Lord. Something we need to do in our own lives. Verse 26, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, the reason being, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I was thinking this morning, after preaching this morning, it's not my message, it's the message of the Word of God. And some things aren't pleasant to discuss and preach and talk about. But if we're to be counted faithful to the Lord, then there comes a place and there comes a time where we just have to preach the Word of God. And if we're challenged, we need to be obedient to what God would have us do. But Paul said, "I'm innocent. I'm pure." He said, "I've declared what God would have me preach. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Then he has a couple of verses here which I'd like just to shortly. We're not going to spend long tonight on it, but just quickly. Paul said these words. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." I believe that probably more so in today than any other day, we see this phenomena in our churches. Paul said to them, he said, "When I leave," he said, "there's going to come grievous wolves." Grievous wolves, they're going to enter in, not sparing the flock. And then he says this, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking of perverse things." I believe he's saying this, also there's going to come some wolves from within. There's going to be some wolves from without, and there's going to be some wolves rise up from within. And he says, you need to take heed to this, because these wolves, they will not spare the flock. They will not spare the flock. Now, I've done a bit of research on the wolf and some reading about the wolf. And if Paul compares these people to wolves, and I believe there's some significance in the characteristics of a wolf, there's a particular reason for it. I mean, the Bible refers to believers as sheep, and there's a reason for that. The Bible refers to these people here, these false prophets of wolves, for a good reason. Because they have similar characteristics of a wolf. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through the habits of a wolf, but just a few things, just so that we're thinking along the lines of what is a wolf? What does it do? Now, a wolf can travel on its own, or he can be in a pack. You have a lone wolf, or you can have a pack. Now, in Australia, we don't necessarily have wolves, although we have something very similar now in wild dogs. And there are people here who have farms and sheep, or have been involved with that, and they could testify of what a wild dog will do. It's very similar to that of a wolf. But a wolf, generally he picks on the weak. And in North America, the wolves will follow the deer herds. And a pack of wolves, and the alpha wolf, or the head wolf, the head honcho wolf, will pick out a particular animal. And the pack instinctively will follow him. There's no talking, it would seem, but just action. And this alpha wolf will lead them, and they will attack the weak and the vulnerable with devastating effect. Some of the wolves that travel on their own are the wolves that will hide in the shadows. They'll lurk in places where you can't see them. I remember talking to a friend of mine over in Benalla. He's a deer hunter, like myself. He said there was a particular day they went shooting and they had just shot a Samba, a deer. And there was two men. He said as they were cleaning this deer to take it back for meat, they were shooting for meat. He said he looked up and about 30 metres in front of him was this dog, a wild dog, quite a large animal. And he said they kept a bit of an eye on it because the wild dog is a dangerous animal. He said they packed the meat into some sort of a pack to carry it out, and he turned around about 20 metres behind him, there was another wild dog watching him. They sort of scared it off. He said they looked to the left of him. He said there was another wild dog on the left of him. And these dogs, these wild dogs had surrounded them. They'd known there was a kill. And it certainly made me think twice about going on my own deer hunting. But the wolf is very similar. It will hide in the shadows. It'll hold back. It waits for an opening. And then it will come in and it will seize the prey and destroy it. Something else about wolves, they're very greedy. A wolf's not a particularly big animal, but they can put away 10 kilos of meat in a sitting. It's a lot to eat. They're quite a greedy animal. Something else you probably know about wolves is they howl a lot. Make a terrible noise. Something else about a wolf is they're not afraid of the dark. They work in darkness. They move in darkness. Now, as I'm saying these things, I think you're probably getting a bit of a picture of what the wolves in the church or those trying to enter the church may be like. Very similar. Very similar. Perhaps the hardest wolf, though, to pick is the wolf that the Lord Jesus talked about in Matthew. Let's turn there, shall we? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 15, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Inwardly ravening wolves. Now, the hardest wolf to pick is one that's in sheep's clothing, because he can look like a sheep, he can sound like a sheep, but inside he's a ravening wolf. Paul is warning the church here of wolves that will come. And we're not talking about the wild animal, but people who would come into our midst and disrupt the church. cause division in the church. See, one of the tactics of a wolf is to divide and then to conquer. They will drive a wedge into the herd, separate the herd, and then they'll select the one they want to take. No mercy with a wolf. The Lord Jesus says something interesting here which would help us identify this type of wolf. In verse 16 he says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." You see, a wolf can hide in sheep's clothing for a certain amount of time, but he can't hide in that forever. Eventually you're going to see some fruit. And eventually you're going to see his true colours, that he is indeed a wolf. The Bible has a lot to say about false prophets. The Apostle Paul warned many times about false prophets coming in. He warned the church, he warned Timothy, he warned, Peter warned the church, they warned about these people in Jude. So many mentions of these false prophets who would come in. I said to start with that there are some things that sometimes it takes a bit of time to learn. You find it interesting in Acts chapter 20 that Paul addresses the elders of the church. I find that interesting. Young people, you need to be very, very careful of wolves that come into your midst. Very careful. You see, because a wolf may be friendly. See, a wolf will spend a lot of time with you. A wolf will give the appearance of trying even to help you. But inwardly, they're just a ravening wolf. And we need to be so careful. I think in today's age, we see a phenomenon which perhaps Paul never saw. Well, he didn't. But it's the phenomenon of the internet. And I don't know how many of you spend time on the internet, surfing the internet or trolling the internet, whatever you call it. But the internet can be a very dangerous place for wolves. There's many young people and even older people who have got tangled up with some wolf on the internet, not realising that he was a wolf, but he thought he was a sheep. Thought he was trying to help or she was trying to help. And in the end was devoured by this thing. Paul said to Timothy, he said to him that in the last days there's going to be all these false prophets, these teachers, people having itching ears and just wanting to hear nice things. We're living in those days even now. The Bible talks in Revelation, it talks about a time called the tribulation, and throughout Scripture you will find reference to a person who is called the false prophet. And he will be the right-hand man of the Antichrist. And is it any wonder we see the drawing together of the churches in these last days as we are looking forward to this time when the Lord Jesus will come, which will be then followed by the seven-year tribulation. I was talking with someone recently about the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church have a cardinal who is, there's video evidence of it, where he will go to churches and he will reclaim them for Rome. The church will contact and they will come and they will renounce what they believe and then come back under the banner of Catholicism. It's true, it's happening. We see it also happening through various movements. You have the emergent church movement. We have the ecumenical movement. One of the reasons why as a church we don't have a spot on the minister's fraternal is for that reason. Is because of the wolves that are present. You say, that's nasty to call other preachers and ministers wolves. It's the truth. They're wolves. They're in sheep's clothing, but they're wolves. And we need to make a stand on those things. One of the key things to knowing what a wolf is, let's have a look in Acts chapter 20. How do you know a wolf? You see, sometimes it can be difficult. Spurgeon wrote or said this. He said, discernment is not telling the difference between what's right and wrong, but what is almost right and almost wrong. That's real discernment. You see, on the surface, something can look right. But when you delve into it, when you study it, is it right? Is it completely right? Not 99%, but 100% truth. Paul had said up until this point, it would seem that there hadn't been grievous wolves, because he warned that when he left, there would be grievous wolves coming in. So up until this point, something was present in the church which kept the wolves out. So let's have a look what it was. And we mentioned them, and I mentioned some of those verses for us. Verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. You need the whole counsel of the Word of God to be able to tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf. See, it's based on the Word of God. This is not a preferential treatment. You see, a lot of people criticize people who make a stand, and they'll make this comment. They'll say, well, you don't associate with that person because you don't like them. That's not the truth. The truth of the matter is you don't associate them because the Bible says don't. And that's not popular in this world. See, we're supposed to love everybody, yes. But we're supposed to love in deed and in truth. In word and in truth. We're supposed to love the right way, not this emotional way. See, emotions are dangerous. The emotions will catch you many times. In fact, in James chapter 4, let's quickly turn there. James chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 3. Verse 13. It's interesting that James is talking here, before this he's talking about a fountain, and he's talking about the fruit of it. He's talking about the fruit of a vine or a fig or an olive tree and so forth. And in verse 13 he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. All right, you know, he says this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Okay? He's talking about a wisdom here that's from this world, and it is associated, the second one there that is used the word sensual. That word sensual has the idea of emotional wisdom. Emotional wisdom. Now, how many of us have made decisions based on our emotions? We all have. There's no question, we all have. At some point in our life, we make decisions based on our emotions. Now, are our emotions always wrong? No. No, they're not. So how do you discern whether the emotion that you have is from above or from beneath? See, that's where you need discernment. In discerning what is right and wrong, in discerning whether it is almost right. And Paul could say to them, look, when I leave, there's going to be some wolves come. They're going to come from out, without, and they're going to come from within. But, remember how I preached. I preached the whole counsel of the Word of God. And if you want to keep wolves out, you need to continue with the whole counsel of the Word of God. And that's what's popular, and that's what's not popular. It's the whole council. Some of the characteristics you might see in a wolf in the church. I've written down a couple here which I think are applicable. Someone who has a tendency to be a wolf is someone who wants to break down the walls of separation from the world. That's a wolf. It's a wolf. Because the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Lord Jesus says, the world is going to hate you because it hated me. And when you have a Christian who says, we need to get closer to the world, wolf. That's wolf tendencies. That's not the Spirit of God. That's someone trying to draw you away. That's someone who's trying to sidetrack you. You say they're a Christian. They may well be a Christian, but a Christian can still behave like a wolf. They still can. Something else you might see in a wolf, someone who resents authority. You see, God has given us authorities in our life and he commands us to submit. He doesn't suggest it. And yet some Christians think they have an option, as in, well, it's a yes or no answer. Well, it is a yes or no answer, but if you say no, you're being disobedient. That's the truth of it. And if you see someone who's continually bucking against authority and resenting authority that God has placed in their life, you see a wolf tendency. Because I've seen that kind of performance split churches right down the centre. See, that's what wolves do. See, wolves divide. They don't encourage. They don't bring together. Someone who has a wolf tendency, someone who's a gossiper. Someone who just continually brings people down. Someone who goes behind people's back and continually brings them low. Always talking about the negative. Always pointing out the faults. Never goes to the person involved. Just does it behind closed doors in the shadows. Just lurking. What are they doing? They're not promoting unity. They're not promoting one accordness. They're not promoting brotherly love. They're promoting division. And those who promote division are wolves. They're wolves. And Paul said, take heed of the wolves. Watch out for them. We mentioned the internet. It's a dangerous place. Don't let yourself loose on it. Don't let yourself loose. You'll end up in trouble on it. It might be some good Christian site, let alone whatever else is on there. We need to be careful. I mentioned the places you'll find wolves. The ecumenical movement, you'll find wolves there. You say, what is the ecumenical movement? Well, the ecumenical movement is basically all the churches trying to get together under one banner. And perhaps one of the greatest driving forces behind the ecumenical movement is CCM. So I disagree with you. I find it interesting that CCM is prevalent in churches where wolves are. You say that's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. You look for CCM and you'll find wolves pretty quickly. Very quickly. You say, are you saying all CCM is wicked and evil? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where you'll find some wolves. You'll find some wolves in CCM. See, most CCM artists, Christian contemporary music artists, has-beens in the secular world, but there's a market in the Christian sector and they're trying to take the cream off the top. So I don't like what you're saying. You look at any good research tool and you'll find it to be so. The majority of Christian contemporary music artists say that their biggest influence in their life are secular artists like the Beatles, like Rolling Stones, like all of the big bands that you care to name, which 15 years ago we preached about and we didn't get hassled over. But now we get hassled over that too. You know why we get hassled? Because some people like wolves. They're quite happy to have a wolf sitting around. It's dangerous. I don't normally name people. I don't make a habit of it. But there are people you need to be careful of. Has anyone ever heard of a fellow by the name of Chris Tomlin? He's very, very, very popular. Now, I'm not going to come out and say out and out he's a wolf and you need a whatever, whatever. But I want to tell you some things. I want to encourage you that before you get sucked in, just to go on where everyone else is going and listen to what everyone else is listening to and go on the place everybody is going to, make sure that you study the Word of God and see how they line up. Because too many people jump on the bandwagon because everybody else is doing it. And not one of them could give you a Bible reason why you should. You say, that's a bit harsh. It's the truth. Shallow Christianity is the age in which we live. It is shallow. I would question at times. I'm not going to say in this group here. That's not fair. But in many circles today, I would question whether two people from the same church could sit down and have a good biblical debate on any given topic and why they believe what they believe. It's true. If we were to come up here tonight and we had any given topic which we had to give an answer for, could you give a biblical reason why you believe what you believe? Because if you don't, the wolf is going to get you. You're a sitting duck. Chris Tomlin was asked this. This is quoting him. He was asked about a record that he'd just done. And I haven't got the whole, it's too long to read. But after he'd been asked a question, he was relieved. It says, Tomlin delivered the result to his label, and here's what happened. They asked me, do you have anything else, just in regards to his music, anything else you've got for us? He said, now this was the third time I thought, who do you guys think you are? I've worked my tail off. But Tomlin bit his tongue, racked his brain and searched his heart. He sent in a demo that updated the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, expecting rejection. But sure enough, they said, this is amazing. We have to put this on the record. The recorded version teams Tomlin with Matt Maher, a Christian artist who's Catholic. Hang on. As the session started, they came to learn an amazing fact. Now listen to this. This song is a back and forth between the Catholic and Protestant churches. Several verses were written in a Protestant way and some were written in a Catholic way. One side claimed it as theirs and so did the other. We sat at the piano and started laughing. We thought, how divine is that? Here's a Catholic man. Here's a Protestant man. Matt Maher, who... I'll read something of Matt Maher. Since his 2008 major label debut, recording artist, songwriter and worship leader Maher has become a staple in the artistic and songwriting community. A five-time Grammy nominee, he has garnered multiple radio successes writing and recording songs like Lord I Need You, Hold Us Together, Christ Is Risen, All The People Said Amen and Your Grace Is Enough. Maher has penned songs recorded by Chris Tomlin, Crowder, Third Day, Matt Redman, Hillsong, Passion and Meredith Andrews, among others. Maher's song have promoted national media coverage on outlets including Fox and Friends and as a guest writer with Billboard magazine in the summer of 2013. Maher was chosen to be the face of 3 million Dr. Pepper cans in conjunction with Pepsi Mid-America and its Christian Artist Can campaign. Maher continues to perform and speak as a part of a high-profile global events, including the upcoming World Meeting of Families, marking Pope Francis' visit to the US this year. In 2013, Maher performed on stage with Pope Francis in front of more than 3 million people at World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro, and is scheduled to perform at World Youth Day 2016, taking place in Krakow, Poland. Maher released his fifth full-length studio release in March of 2015, featuring a modern adaptation of Bill and Gloria Gaither, the classic Because He Lives. Maher is the face of the Catholic Youth Day. And Tomlin sits down with him, writes the music with him, and sings on stage and all the other carry-on. You say, well, that's a bit harsh, you're judging the men. The Lord Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. Paul took the time on occasion to name people and warn them of what they were. And yet when it comes to us, we live in this world of tolerance and loving everybody and we can't say anything. And as a result of it, young people are getting tied up by their thousands with this stuff and they can't work out why they can't have any victory in their life with the Lord. Why? Because some wolf has got him running around in circles, hassling him, biting him. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Hey, the Catholic Church will have more members in hell than any other organisation. They've got over 1 billion people. You say there's Christians in the Catholic Church. There may be. But they're not Christians because of what the Catholic Church teach. You say there's unsafe people in Baptist churches. In their droves! We're talking about the principle here of separation from wolves. And Paul said to Ephesus, he said, take heed. If you don't preach the whole counsel of God, wolves will come from without and from within. And we see a flood of wolves like we've never seen before. And young people are being swallowed up by their drove. You're saying, you're picking on me. I'm not picking on you. I'm encouraging you. Get into the Word of God. Study the whole counsel of God. You say they've got good words in their song. No question about that. But look at the associations alongside it. Have a look where it will lead you. You say, but I'm not going to go that far. I've met plenty of people who've said that. They're nowhere to be seen today. They're gone. Some wolf carried them off. Take heed. Paul's saying, pay attention. Pay attention. Do you know what you do with a wolf? You have a gun, you shoot it. But you know what they used to do with wolves? They used to chase them off. They used to run them out of town. You see, you can't change a wolf. A wolf's a wolf's a wolf. He's always going to be a wolf. You say, but I know someone they might change. That person might be you if you hang around them too long. Because a wolf doesn't want to change. He wants to change you. He wants you to be the same as what he is. He wants you to go the same places. Why? Because he wants you to be of this world like he is. Take heed, Paul said. This is serious stuff. He said, this is the last time I'm going to see you guys. He said, you better keep in the word. Because as soon as you start leaving the word of God, start following after someone, some creed or something else, you're in trouble. Folks, we need to stay in the Word of God. It's not enough just to get the preaching on a Sunday. So I'm in church, I hear good preaching, it's not enough. You need to be in the Word yourself daily. You need to get before God when something comes up and you need to pour it out before the Lord and say, Lord, what are you trying to say? What does your Word say about it? Too many people get on the phone or on the internet and try and find out what God's trying to tell them. The wrong way of doing it. They ring up so and so as a good friend. What do you think about this? Do you think what I think? Yes, oh, that's good. We must be right. Two of us can't be wrong. Got to be joking. There's whole movements that are wrong. You need to study the word like we've never studied before. The Berean church were a noble church. Why? Because they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were so. They didn't just take it for, oh, that's what you said. They said, what does God say? Young people, what do you believe? Seriously, what do you believe? So I believe what my mum and dad believe. Well, I hope they're right. But that's not going to stand the test of time. So you're going to get to an age where you're going to have to make all your own decisions about what you believe, the people that you spend time with, all those things. And if you don't know now what you believe, you're going to struggle when it comes to it. You're going to really struggle. And you'll spend years wondering what's right and what's wrong and being tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. Be settled in the Word of God. Take the time. prove what God says. Work it out in your life so that he might say, you're approved. You've studied. Is that what we are? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I wonder tonight if we had to give an account of what we understood the scriptures to say on all those things which we hold dear and say we believe, whether we could give a good account or whether we've been too busy mucking around, not paying attention to your word. Lord, you've spoken so many times and warned us of these wolves that are out there, sadly as some are within the church. Lord, I pray that that would not be the case here. I pray, Lord, that our walk would be close. It would be biblical. It would be right. And Lord, as we continue to live for you, that the decisions we make would be based wholly and solely upon the word of God. You would challenge us with these things, Lord, the young people here. Lord, we do live in a difficult day and age. There's no question, Lord. There's so many information resources out there, and if we're not careful, Lord, we can become involved in things and without even really realizing it. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. Well, not the wisdom that comes from beneath, but the wisdom from above. Lord, help us to please you. Lord, we don't make a stand against these people just to be, Lord, a pain in the neck, as it were, but Lord, the truth is at stake, your word's at stake. And Lord, if that be the case, then people's lives, people's souls for eternity are at stake as well. Help us to be honest before you, Lord. Make changes we need to. May we be students of the word of God, we pray, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.